So let's open our Bibles to Romans and chapter 8. It's a short reading, verses 28 to 30. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So the theme today has been that of trust, trusting God, whatever might come our way in life. And so I've put up the top today, God works for good, and God is working for good. Those of you who were able to be here last week, as we reflected on the earlier verses in chapter 8, recognizing the activity of the Holy Spirit within us, God is active within our lives. If we trace through the whole of the book of Romans, the whole of this letter, there is a particular emphasis in what we know as chapter 8 on the Holy Spirit and the activity of the Holy Spirit. It's not that the Holy Spirit is only at work here, but the Apostle Paul particularly talks about the Holy Spirit in this section. And he wants to emphasize that in all of us who trust in God. And that's all we have done. All we have done is trust in God. Why do we trust somebody? Sometimes because we've nowhere else to turn. And that might be true for us in terms of our relationship with God. We have trusted in God. And as we trust in God, God pours out his Holy Spirit upon us. And the Holy Spirit goes to work in us to produce and reproduce love and life and peace and resurrection and hope within our hearts. And we find that the activity of the Holy Spirit is even there when we struggle to pray, when we are stumped for the right words to say. The Holy Spirit takes those groans and those sighs and those aches in our heart, and the Holy Spirit translates all of those groanings into prayer. So our reflection thus far in chapter 8 is that God is active in our lives. And then in many ways, it's summed up with these few verses that we've just read, Romans 8, 28 to 30. And all I've done this morning is divide, in a sense, those verses into three little bits. And we begin with this. This is not the same translation as you have in the NIV Bible, but this is essentially what we're going for. God works for good in those who are in relationship with him. The observant among you may have noticed that right at the bottom of the page, you know, you've got these little footnotes. Are you ever intrigued by these? And related to this, some ancient manuscripts, you might be familiar with this text, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. And you might be more familiar with that wording. But essentially what the Apostle Paul is saying is that God is working for good in those who are in relationship with him. And so we can draw the simple conclusion, first of all, that God is actively at work in you, and secondly, that God is working for good. God is actively at work in you, but also that God's work in you is for good. If things are going well in your life, if things seem to be turning out well with you, isn't it easy to say, yes, God is working for good? Yeah. It's when things hit the buffers. When things get difficult, that's perhaps when we struggle. Lord, why am I suffering with this illness? I thought you were at work within me, Lord. Why do I have to suffer this illness? My job situation has fallen off a cliff, and it looks like I'm going to be made redundant with no hope of another job. Lord, I thought you were working in my life. And whatever it is that we encounter when difficulty comes to us, that's when we turn to words such as these and say, hang on, I thought God was working for good in my life. Why isn't that? Doesn't that seem to be working out? And what the Apostle Paul is seeking to communicate is that no matter what the circumstance of your life, no matter what you're going through, from your perspective, it may look like everything's going down the plug hole. But from God's perspective, He is working for good. He is creating situations and allowing you to go through situations so that you will be transformed, so that you will be recreated for something wonderful and glorious. And that may not even make it any easier when you go through the difficult times. But that's what is happening. From our perspective, we see one thing. We see the struggle and the difficulty and the pain. But from God's perspective, and this is what Paul is suggesting, from God's perspective, He is working for good, for a good outcome at the end. And so God is actively at work in you, and God is working for good. God works for good in those who are in relationship with Him. And I should point out, of course, when it says God works for good in those who are in relationship with Him, there is nothing here about those who are not in relationship to Him. It's very easy to say, oh, well, God's working for good in us, and He's working against you. Isn't that right? We can say, well, God is working to harm you, but He's working for my good. Well, it doesn't say anything about that. As far as we know, God is working for their good as well as our good. Okay? So we mustn't fall into that trap. God is actively at work in you, in your circumstance, right now. And God is working it creatively, beautifully, wonderfully for good. But the verse goes on. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. So there's an immediate question. What is God's purpose? What is God's plan? And if we search the scriptures, what is the answer that we find? What is God's purpose? What is God's plan? What is God working towards? What are we a part of? God's active work for good in us. What is the plan that God is working towards with us? And there's a couple of answers we can give. If we look particularly at the Old Testament, the answer that comes through time and time again, from, I think it's Psalm 72, from Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 11, and then this one you'll know, Habakkuk, I think it's either Habakkuk 2 or 3. We have this refrain, this prophetic insight, that what God is working towards is this, that the earth might be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. You familiar with those words? That the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And that is God's big purpose. And for you and I, we're going to think, we can't imagine that. That the whole earth, all of creation, should resonate with the presence of God, with his love and his laughter and his life, that the whole of creation should resonate with the presence of God. And that's very much Old Testament. And of course, it's carried through into the New. A second answer might be this, that we find in Colossians, that the plan of God is to reconcile all things to himself. Colossians 1, 2 Corinthians 5, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. What is God's big plan? Well, the big plan is that the whole of creation should resonate with his presence. What is God doing? He is reconciling all things to himself. He's reconciling you and me and your friends and your neighbors and your enemies, the people you thought God had abandoned. God is working to reconcile all things to himself. And that is God's big purpose. That is God's grand plan. Now, of course, a second question immediately comes to mind, and that is this. How is God achieving this purpose? It's a grand plan. It's a great idea that all of creation should resonate with the love and the life and the laughter of God. And it's wonderful to hear that God is reconciling all things to himself. How is he doing it? Well, we have the answer in the next verse. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. So what is God doing? He is transforming us to reflect the likeness of Jesus. Okay, so God is at work, reconciling all things to himself, bringing everything back to himself. And when we read that in Colossians 1, it doesn't say God is working to reconcile all things except this or that, but God is working to reconcile all things. How is he doing this? How is he making this purpose possible? Well, he's beginning with you and with me. And he is working on transforming us to reflect the likeness of Jesus. So God is at work within us, producing love and justice and grace within us. So where do we begin? God is working for good in those who are in relationship with him. God is actively at work in you and me, and God is working for good. Whatever our circumstances look like at the moment from our perspective, God is working for good. What else do we now know? God is working love, justice, and grace in you. He is transforming you. He's transforming you. And so often we can sit back, as it were, and think, do you know what? I am so gifted. God must be glad he's got me on his side because I am so gifted. My abilities are so phenomenal. And you know, God is not that interested because he wants to change your character. That's what God wants to do. He wants to produce love in you. He wants to produce justice in you. He wants to bring all the bits back together as they should be. He wants to bring grace to be at work in you and peace. It's not about all the stuff we can do so often, but it is about who we are. So God is powerfully at work within us through our circumstances, in order that he might produce love. And we could, you know, we could go to Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that right? The fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Spirit produces in us. And the Apostle Paul could easily have written that here. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think I got them all. That list, and it's not an exhaustive list, but the Apostle Paul reflecting This is what God is doing in you. This is what happens when the Holy Spirit is at work in you and you allow his activity within you. So God is actively at work within you. God is working for good in you. You might not see it from your perspective, but from God's perspective, it is a work for good. It is a good work and it is for good. And God is working love and justice and grace and peace and kindness and mercy in you. He's creating character within you of all these good things. But then the third part of what we've read. For though, verse 29 and 30, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. And I've just put it in brief those there. For those God foreknew, he predestined, he also called, he also justified, he also glorified. And how do we get our heads around that? Big words, difficult words, the kind of words sometimes in Bible studies we love spending our time on. Understanding what do these big words mean and these big concepts mean. So if I just stick all of those key things down this side, those God foreknew, he predestined, he also called, he also justified, he also glorified. So what do they mean? Those God foreknew. Simply, God knew us before we knew him. That's all it means. Those God foreknew. God knew you before you knew him. And already in Romans 5, Paul has made the point. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Before we knew God, God was already active, working for us. Those God foreknew, God knew us. God knew you before we knew him. That's simply what it is. How about he predestined? Now, this is such a good one. Because we get in such a twist. God has predestined. God has, sometimes we think God has planned out my whole life. Before I was born, it was all there. Every step was marked out for me. And where's then is my free will? Well, if we follow this through, those God foreknew. So God knew us before we knew him. It's as if God sees us from afar and notes you. He clocks you. I see you. And he predestines. It simply means God has plans for you. He clocks you and says of you, I've got plans for you. I've got plans for you. Now just imagine that happening in your workplace. Somebody, your managing director or somebody, just clocking you, seeing you at work, seeing you, the diligence with which you work or the caring way in which you talk to somebody, and your boss, whoever it is, clocks you, sees you. What do? Immediately they go away and start making plans, don't they? They start making plans and think, right, they're good. Not only are they gifted, they have good character. I've got things. Now that managing director, your boss, might come back to you and say, I'd like you to do this and this and this. And of course, what can you say? You can say no. Of course you can. You can say, no, I don't fancy that. I don't want to step out in that way. And it's the same with God. God has clocked us. God has seen us. He foreknew us. He predestined simply means he has made plans for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. He's made good plans for us. And he has seen us. And he said, he's something I have for you to do. So those God foreknew, he predestined, he also called. So just following it through. God knew us before we knew him. He sees us. He says, right, I've got plans for that man. I've got plans for that woman. What's the next step? Well, simply he calls us. He invites us. This is Jesus coming alongside and saying, come, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. If you're a fisherman, that's what he says. I'll make you fishers of men. I will make you the best of what you are. I will show you how to live. Come, because I've seen you and I have plans for you. Plans that are good for you. And so he calls. And then he justifies. And we've talked quite a bit about what it means to be justified, and this bigger word, justification, that we come across particularly in the letter of Romans. He also justifies. It simply means God has declared us to be walking in his way. God knows us, clocks us, he makes plans for us, and then he invites us to walk with him. And this word justified, it is God's declaration. When God says to us, well done, you're walking in the way of Christ. You're walking in my way. You're walking in the way of love, justice, and peace. And he justifies us. He makes a declaration of us, of justification. It's a big word, but that's what it's about. He declares that to be true. And of course, as I've said in the past, we turn around and say, well, how did that happen? How did that happen? All we did is trust. You invited us. We came. You're justified. You're walking in my footsteps. And that is good. And then this last one, he also glorified. The Apostle Paul is making clear, in terms of God's activity in our lives, God's working towards this wonderful, glorious goal that the whole earth, all of creation should resonate with his presence, that God is reconciling all things to himself. Paul says, how does that happen? Well, he knows you. He clocks you. He makes plans for you. He invites you. He calls you. And as you walk with him, he declares, justified. Justified. You are justified. And then glorified. This is God revealing the vastness of his love and justice in us. God is revealing the vastness of his love and justice in us. And it might be on this that we struggle the most. Is God really glorifying us? Take a look at me. I have to look at myself every day in the mirror. You take a look. Is God really glorifying me? And of course, God's glory. What is God's glory? It is the radiance of his love, the radiance of his mercy and his kindness, the radiance of his grace. God is working these things in your life and my life. So this is what the Apostle Paul wants to make clear. For us, those God foreknew, he predestined, he called, he justified, and he glorified. He wants us to rest secure in this reality, in this truth. So what have we got? God is working for good for those who are in relationship with him. God is actively at work in you and me. God is working for good in you and me. And God is working love, justice, grace, mercy, kindness in us. And every time you encounter somebody else, every time you're in a relationship with somebody else, all of this that God is working in you is rubbing off on them. The key, of course, is trust. The key, of course, is trust. Trusting God to be doing this work. Trusting that whatever our circumstances, that God is working for good and God is producing this good fruit within our hearts and lives. Amen.